This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. Today we continue in a series called Better Together. In this series, Rick takes us through 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and shows us how to cultivate deep, meaningful relationships with the people around us. In just a few moments, we're going to tell you how you can get a copy of Pastor Rick's book called God's Power to Change Your Life. In it, you'll discover how God provides the power you need to take you from where you are to where you want to be. Find out more by going to PastorRick.com or by texting the word DAILY to 800-600-5004 while you listen to today's message. That's PastorRick.com or the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Right now, here's Pastor Rick Warren with part two of a message called Why We Need Each Other.
Hebrews 10. Let us not give up the habit of meeting together. Notice it's a habit. It's something you do all the time. Let us not give up the habit of meeting together. Instead, let us encourage one another. He says, you know, you're created for community, and I want you to encourage each other by meeting together. Now, that verse, he's not talking about what we're doing right now. This is not a community, folks. This is a crowd. It's a quite large crowd, okay? And we can't encourage each other here. You know, you can't even get to talk to very many people. There's just too many people. This can only be done in a small group. You know, can you be in a crowd and be lonely? Sure. This last week I was in Manhattan. I had to go buy a coat for a TV show I was going to be on. And so I walked out by myself. I was in 100,000 people, but it still felt very lonely because I didn't know anybody. So it has nothing to do with the size. It's talking about getting together with people who encourage you. Would you write this down? Community is God's answer to loneliness. Community is God's answer to loneliness. And we all need a place where we can practice love. It's what the world needs. We need to learn how to love. Now, the Bible says that I've got to have other people in my life as I'm walking through life. I need other people to grow. Would you write that down? I can't grow without others. The Bible is very clear about this. I cannot grow without other people in my life. Why? Because life is about relationships, not about achievement. God is love, and he wants me to learn to love him and love others. Those are the two greatest lessons in life. Now, the Bible gets very specific about this in 1 Corinthians 14. I love this in the Message paraphrase. It's pretty clear. It says, When you gather, each one of you, be prepared with something useful for all. Sing a hymn, teach a lesson, tell a story, lead a prayer, provide an insight. Take your turn with no one person taken over. That way, you all learn from each other. Question, does that sound like something we do here on Sunday morning? No. I don't stand up here and say, anybody got a poem? You know, what happened to you this week? Who has a prayer request? Who learned something from God this week? Who needs to be prayed? We're too big to do that. This can only happen in a small group. And that's why to be a healthy believer, you need large group worship and small group fellowship, temple courts and house to house. And that's why in our church, we ask everybody to come on a weekend service and be in a small group. If you're only getting half of that, you're only getting half of the benefit of this church. You need to walk through life in a small group of believers. Now, why? Well, look at the next verse, Ephesians 4. As each part, talking about the body of Christ, as each part does its work, it helps the other parts grow. So, Christ's whole body is healthy and growing and, read it with me, full of love. That's what God wants in your life, and he wants for all of us. He wants us to be healthy and growing and full of love. And that's my prayer for you as your pastor. I want you to be healthy, and I want you to be growing, and I want you to be full of love. Now, there's only one way you can do that. You got to get with other Christians who can walk through life with you. You see, you can't learn community without being in a community. Not a crowd, but in a community. The Bible says this in 1 Peter 4, 9. Open your homes to each other. Without what? Complaining. What's your complaint? What's your excuse for not opening up your home? Well, my home is dirty. Well, clean it up. Okay? Just clean it up, all right? That's not like, that's a real easy thing. Okay? Well, my home isn't big enough. Can you put three people in it? Then you can have a group. The Bible says where two or more are gathered in my name, I'm there in the midst of them. You say, well, you know what? I don't like my neighbors. Well, don't invite them. I'm not telling you to invite people you don't like. Invite the people you do like. Okay? You don't have to invite people. Invite your neighbor, friends. Invite your coworkers, your family. You know, just get some people. You say, well, nobody would really want to come to my house and study this. Oh, really? Really? You see, everybody has a longing for belonging. Everybody, deep in the human spirit, is a longing for belonging. It's why the worst kind of punishment is solitary confinement. We're made for relationships. God wired us that way. And that's why people will join all kinds of stupid causes just because they want to belong. Listen, the people in your neighborhood would love to come to your house. Let me give you an example of this. 2 years ago when we did 40 days of purpose, and on the day we started, like today, I handed out a little card, a little invitation card, and I said, you know what? I want you to give this card to somebody that you know who doesn't go to church anywhere or doesn't have any knowledge of the love of God, and you invite them to your small group. And in 1 week, you did this, in 1 week, we went from 8,000 people in small groups to 24,000 in small groups. Listen, your neighbors are more willing to come than you're willing to invite them. They are. So that's the first reason we need a group. We need each other because we need people to walk with us. Number two, I also need others to work with me. I need people to work with me. Did you know that the Bible says God put you on earth to do a certain work that only you can do? Ephesians 2:10 says this, God made us to do good works, which he planned in advance for us to live our lives doing. Before you were even born, God decided the talents he was going to give you, the natural abilities he was going to give you, the background. He even chose where you would be born, who your parents would be, when you would be born, and all of this, because he has a purpose for your life, and part of that purpose is he has some work for you to do. Now, anytime you use your talents or your abilities to help somebody else, there's a word for that. It's called ministry or service. And all of us are ministers, not pastors, ministers. What that means is when you use your gifts and what God wired you to be to help others, you're doing what God brought you to do. He says these are your good works. Now, remember, we've talked about this many times, that life on earth is practice for eternity. You get 100 years at the most on earth, you get trillions of years in heaven. And in heaven, you're going to do four things. And one of the things you're going to do in heaven is you're going to serve God. And so what God wants you to do while you're here on earth, spend some of that time practicing. Practicing serving. And so he says, I want you to learn to serve. I want you to do these good works, but I don't want you to do them by yourself. You see, in heaven, when you get there, everybody's going to work, but we'll all each just have a little piece so you'll never get tired. You're not going to be overworked or overloaded in heaven because God will give you just a little piece to do, but everybody will do their part and it'll all get done. What happens here on earth, though, is you're worn out. You're exhausted. You're burnt out. Some of you came to church exhausted. Why? Because you're trying to do it all, and you're trying to do it all by yourself.
You're listening to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Rick will be back in just a moment with the rest of today's lesson. If you've missed any part of today's teaching, you can listen online anytime at PastorRick.com. That's PastorRick.com.
What does it take to become more loving, live more peacefully, develop patience, have self-control? Pastor Rick says throughout all the years he's been a pastor, the number one question he's been asked is, why can't I change? People want to change, but they're stuck. Maybe you feel that way too. In his book, God's Power to Change Your Life, Rick lays the groundwork for personal transformation, then offers biblical insights and simple steps for 10 areas of growth that can take you from where you are to where you want to be. This book connects you with the power to actually make the changes you long to make. And as you apply the truth of God's Word by the power of His Spirit, your life will change. You'll move out of your rut and get on track with God's wonderful purposes for your life. And today, when you give a gift to Daily Hope to help take the hope of Jesus to people everywhere, we'll send you a copy of God's Power to Change Your Life. Just go to PastorRick.com right now to get your copy, or you can call 800-600-5004. That's PastorRick.com or call 800-600-5004. And be sure to let us know which station you heard us on. Thank you so much for your support.
Now let's get back to today's lesson here on Pastor Rick's Daily Hope.
You see, in heaven, when you get there, everybody's going to work, but we'll all each just have a little peace so you'll never get tired. You're not going to be overworked or overloaded in heaven because God will give you just a little peace to do, but everybody will do their part and it'll all get done. What happens here on earth, though, is you're worn out. You're exhausted. You're burnt out. Some of you came to church exhausted. Why? Because you're trying to do it all, and you're trying to do it all by yourself. And that's why you're worn out. God never meant for you to go through life walking alone or working alone. You need to be in a relationship with others who help you get done what you need to do. Otherwise, you're going to be worn out and fatigued all the time. Now, God tells us in the Bible why we're supposed to work together. Look at the next verse. In Ecclesiastes 4, two people are better than one because they get more done. Read it with me, would you? By working together. They get more done by working together. Now, everybody knows this. You always get more done as a team than you do as an individual. It's also a whole lot more fun. It's also less tiring. And you learn to cooperate together. There's all kinds of benefits to working together. You know, in the last 12 days, I was on a speaking tour on the East Coast, and I spoke in 11 different cities in 12 days. And it was up and down in a plane for the last 12 days. We started a week ago on Friday to Washington, D.C., flew to Washington, D.C., where I spoke at the Pentagon. Spoke twice there, once to a general's Bible study, had 67 generals in it, and then another to the employees of the Pentagon. Then we left the Pentagon, and we flew to Philadelphia, where we had meetings there. We went from Philadelphia to West Point, where I spoke to the 4,000 cadets at West Point. And then we went from West Point to New York City and place after place. Well, I would have been worn out if I hadn't taken a team with me. We then went to Chattanooga, where 170 churches in that one city did 40 days of purpose altogether. And it was citywide and had 50,000 people going through it. And they put up billboards all over town that said, "Got purpose?" And then we went to Nashville, and I spoke to about 6,000 mothers of preschoolers there, and then Liberty University, and then I spoke at Annapolis, the Naval Academy, and stopped by Billy Graham's house, said hi, and came home. Now, I would have been worn out. I wouldn't even been here this weekend if I had that had all depended on me. That's just overwhelming, that kind of a schedule. But I took a team with me, and every time that plane hit the ground, each of us knew what we had to do. Nobody is good at everything. Would you agree with that? Nobody's good at everything. And so we need each other. And so you put people around you who compensate for your weaknesses, who are strong in areas you're not good at. And I came home from that. I wasn't tired. I went to bed, got up the next morning at 6:30, and went back to work. Why? Because when you share together, it lightens the load. You know, when we were at West Point, they showed us a system that feeds 4,000 cadets in 15 minutes. Imagine that. And they do it three times a day. Feed 4,000 cadets in 15 minutes. How in the world they do that? Everybody has a role with butter. Just seeing if you're listening. Everybody has a role to play. Everybody has a part, and it's all like clockwork, bam, bam, bam. Everybody has a part, and if you do little bits a piece, it can all get done. The reason why you're exhausted, you're trying to do it all yourself. You know, some people fall for what I call the Mother Teresa syndrome, and that's the idea that the lone person goes out to change the world all by themselves. That doesn't, even Mother Teresa didn't do that. She had an army of people helping her. You've heard me say before, snowflakes are frail, but if enough of them stick together, they can stop traffic. Now, individually, I can't make that big a difference in the world. And individually, you can't make that big difference in the world. But together, we, you know, in this church, we got 82,000 snowflakes. That's a lot of snow. And that can make some significant difference. Together, we can make a difference if everybody does just a little, a little. Would you write this down? Community is God's answer to fatigue. If you're tired, it's because you don't have the relationships built in to support you that you need in what God has called you to do. Have you ever watched on TV or maybe the movie Witness where Amish build a barn together? They do it in a day. It's amazing. I mean, just, you know, the whole community shows up, and where there was nothing at the end of the day, there's a barn standing. Why? Everybody has a little part to play. Now, the Bible says this in Galatians 6:10. Every time we get the chance, let us work for the benefit of all. That's, I need others to work with me. Starting with the people closest to us in the community of faith. What's the community of faith? It's our church family. I need people to walk with me through life, and I need people to work with me through life. But I also, number three, I need others to watch out for me in life, to watch out for me. I'm talking about people who defend me, who stand up for me, who will protect me, who will help me keep staying on track, who will, you know, watch my backside, who will warn me. We all need this because we all have blind spots. The Bible says in Philippians 2:4, look out for one another's interests, not just your own. If you want a counterculture verse, that's it. Because in America, the general idea is it's all about me. It's all about my needs, my interests, my wants, my desires, my ambitions. The rest of you, forget you. I live for myself. Forget everybody else. This one says, don't just look out for your own interests. Look out for others too. Have you ever seen these neighborhood watch signs? Sometimes you see them out in an area. That's a sign of community. It says, we watch out for each other here. We're looking out for each other. My guess is if you went on vacation this summer and you were gone for a week or maybe 2 weeks, you probably told your neighbor you were going to be gone. He said, you know, I'm going to be gone for a couple weeks. Would you kind of keep an eye out on my house? Would you kind of watch out, look out for my stuff? Because we all want our stuff looked out for. And that's a good thing, to have your stuff looked after, watched out for. But my question is not, is anybody watching out for your stuff? Is anybody watching out for your soul? Because your soul is a whole lot more important than your stuff. Is there anybody in your life who helps you stay on track spiritually? Is there anybody who loves you enough to say, I'm not going to let you get discouraged. I'm not going to let you drop out. I'm not going to let you, you know, get tired. I'm here with you. Let me support you. And who encourages you in your spiritual life? If you don't have anybody like that, that's sad. See, the fact is we all have blind spots, things we can't see. You know, I grew this beard this summer. And then my wife, Kay, said, you know, honey, if you're going to have a beard, you got to get rid of the flat hair thing, okay? So she came up with this little spiky do here, you know, like, you know? The only problem is I can't see the back, and it sticks up straight on the back, okay? So I don't know if it's sticking up or not. Is it right now? I don't know, okay? I mean, so I'm not making this up. Last night, before, and again this morning, I'm getting ready to come to church. I'm starting to walk out the door. Kay goes, stop. I thought, what did I do? She's fixing a little... You know, doing the little thing. I would have never known that. You know, you get a tail light out. You're never going to know it. Somebody's got to look out for you. Somebody's got to say, you got a tail light out. Now, the Bible says in Hebrews 13:1, keep being concerned about each other as the Lord's followers should. We should care about each other. We're family. We're in God's family, and as brothers and sisters, I should defend you, and you should defend me, and I help you stay on track, and you help me stay on track. Now, it says keep being concerned. Circle the word keep. That means not just once. You're vigilant. In a war, everybody has to take time on sentry duty. While everybody else is sleeping, somebody stays awake to make sure the enemy isn't crashing in. Now, since 9/11, we've all been a whole lot more vigilant for each other with terrorism and things like that. But did you know that you have an enemy far more destructive than terrorists? Oh, yeah. You have a personal enemy, and he hates your guts, and he wants to defeat you. His name is Satan. And Satan wants to mess up your life. Satan wants to bring problems in your life. Satan wants to ruin your relationships. He wants to hurt you as bad as he can. Now, why would he do that? Because he can't hurt God. See, Satan, what he wants to do is he wants to hurt God, but he can't. When you can't hurt somebody, what do? You go after their children. If you couldn't get to me, you'd go after my wife or my kids. Satan can't hurt God. So what does he do? He tries to hurt God's children. And he doesn't care what it'll take, how badly you get hurt. He wants to mess you up anyway. And the moment you wake up in the morning, he's already been plotting how to get you to waste that day, to blow it with anger or worry or fear or guilt or shame or depression or any other resentment or bitterness. He'll just try to get you all messed up. I've been reading this 9/11 report from the commission. Interesting reading. But as I read it, I thought, what are the parallels here between our battle, our spiritual battle against Satan? Now listen to this. Listen to this parallel. We learned about an enemy. This is what the committee reported, who is sophisticated, patient, disciplined, and lethal. That's exactly what the devil is.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. If you've missed any part of this message, or if you'd like to find out more about Pastor Rick Warren and this ministry, just visit PastorRick.com, where you can listen online anytime. That's Pastor Rick with two R's in the middle, .com. And be sure to sign up for Rick's free daily email devotional while you're there. Rick will be back to close out our time today, but first, what does it take to become more loving? Live more peacefully, develop patience, have self-control. Pastor Rick says throughout all the years he's been a pastor, the number one question he's been asked is, why can't I change? People want to change, but they're stuck, and maybe you feel that way too. In his book, God's Power to Change Your Life, Rick lays the groundwork for personal transformation, then offers biblical insights and simple steps for 10 areas of growth that you can take from where you are to where you want to be. This book connects you with the power to actually make the changes you long to make. And as you apply the truth of God's Word by the power of His Spirit, your life will change. You'll move out of your rut and get on track with God's wonderful purposes for your life. And today, when you give a gift to Daily Hope to help take the hope of Jesus to people everywhere, we'll send you Pastor Rick's book called God's Power to Change Your Life to say thanks. Just go to PastorRick.com right now to get your copy, or you can call 800-600-5004. That's PastorRick.com or 800-600-5004. And be sure to let us know which station you heard us on. Thanks so much for your support. Here's Pastor Rick with a word of encouragement.
You know, if you accidentally cut off your finger, it wouldn't live for very long on its own. It has to be reconnected to your body, and it has to be reconnected as quickly as possible. Now, here's what I want you to do this week. I want you to get connected to the body of Christ. And here's what I mean by that. If you're not involved in a Bible-believing church where God's Word is taught, then I want you to go find one. I cannot overstate the importance of you having a local church family. Every believer is meant to be a belonger. You need to belong to a local body of Christ. Otherwise, you're like that finger. You're cut off, detached, and you don't have the lifeblood flowing through you. Now, if you need help finding a church, just email me, and I'll send you a tool called How to Find a Church. Thanks for listening today. You know I love you. You know I care for you. And I'm praying for you.
Be sure to join us again next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Daily Hope Ministries and your generous financial support.